The WBEN All Local. All Local. A daily look at what's happening in Buffalo, Western New York, and the world.
I'm Susan Rose.
I'm Brian Masurowski.
Here's the latest on the suspected gunman behind the attack at the White House Correspondents Association dinner. He's now facing charges. 31-year-old Cole Allen, suspect in Saturday's incident, was charged yesterday with the attempted assassination of President Trump. A criminal complaint saying Allen vowed in a note to go after administration officials.
In this letter, it's very lengthy. He goes over how he planned to target administration officials, which he said were, quote, targets prioritized from highest ranking to lowest. That line presumably is where they get this directed at President Trump. But in this letter, what's interesting is he doesn't actually name President Trump at any point directly, but he does express a list of grievances about the administration's policies.
And crime and terrorism analyst Brad Garrett.
Typically, people who commit these type of crimes leave a lot of information or evidence. And the reason why is that this is an obsession. This is something of a person who has a master's degree in mechanical engineering, seems to be, at least on the surface, an okay guy. There's something certainly dark going on inside him. And that becomes such an obsession. They write about it. It's online. They're going to find, in other words, a lot of information that will sort of support why he did what he did.
And we're also hearing that he took a train from California to Chicago to Washington, D.C. to avoid TSA security screening.
Wow. The Sabres one win away from their first playoff series victory since 2007. Head coach Lindy Ruff likes being on home ice for this one tonight.
I mean, our fans have been great. I mean, you know, I can't say enough about how well-traveled they were in the last half of the year in the regular season and now in a playoff building. You know, I've seen the Blade gang come to town. That's pretty cool. I'd actually like to play with those guys.
Easy,
I'd love to see that. They'd love to have them.
We don't need Lindy running over a pothole in the middle of Washington Street.
That's true,
down the game for Game 5 tonight. Puck drops at 7:30. Sabres lead the series 3-1.
Thousands of fans will be there without tickets, packing Canal Side to watch the team at the outdoor watch party. WBEN's Jim Fink tells us some are asking why away games couldn't be included.
Last Thursday night, a Buffalo Sabres road game watch party drew thousands of people into downtown Lancaster, not Buffalo. Bars and restaurants were jam-packed, but Canal Side, it was empty. Following the success of two Canal Side watch parties during the Sabres home games on April 19th and 21st, many were wondering why the downtown destination was dark for the team's two road games, especially after Governor Kathy Hochul said she wanted more watch parties and events at Canal Side. To many, it was a lost opportunity at a time when city leaders are looking for ways to bring more people back into downtown and help revive its swagger. Erie County Executive Mark Poloncarz, an ex officio Erie Canal Harbor Development Corporation director, says he intends to broach the matter, especially if the Sabres advance deeper into the NHL playoffs.
If the Sabres win the next game, they're going on to the next round, and I think it's important that we have more watch parties at the waterfront, and I will continue to call for it.
This is Jim Fink for WBEN.com News.
Everybody continuing to call for it. Not much in the way of actually putting the steps forward to do it.
Right. No real initiative to take this on.
It is the one. The Sabres have been throwing these for home games, huge events down at Canal Side. And we hear about everyone else says, yeah, wish there were more. But city, state, no plans to throw any themselves on. It is state-owned property for much of Canal Side.
Right.
So we kind of be their prerogative to do it or not. We'll see if it happens.
Well, drivers are continuing to face rising costs at the pump.
Gas prices are on the rise again across Colorado, jumping about 7 cents in just the past week. Experts say global tensions are driving up oil prices, and that's quickly translating to higher cost at the pump. And AAA says while prices haven't surged dramatically just yet, the trend is moving in one direction. And AAA says small changes can make a difference, like keeping extra weight out of your car, carpooling, simply not driving, and shopping around, because they say prices can vary significantly from station to station.
Around here, the average price today, $4.17 a gallon. That's up from $4.14 a week ago.
Well, last Thursday, yet another truck hit the CSX bridge that crosses Yonge Street in the city of Tonawanda. That bridge has been hit at least 60 times since the year 2000. WBEN's Tom Puckett on what's being done to stop it from happening again.
After another truck hit the Yonge Street Bridge last week, Tonawanda Mayor William Strasberg says he's frustrated at the irresponsibility of truck drivers going through his city. One reason why he thinks they're hitting the bridge?
Truck drivers have been using normal GPS instead of commercial GPS because commercial GPS is more expensive, and that's how they end up on these routes because they're not using the right GPS system. So hopefully implementing something like this incentivizes them to get the proper tools to assist them so we can eliminate this as a problem.
Strasberg says there's a project in the works waiting for congressional approval using lasers to activate overhead lights to alert drivers of oversized trucks before getting to the bridge. Strasberg says he understands how things work in D.C.
It's just bogged down right now waiting for all final approvals before we can go out for the actual design and then to implement the system. So it's still in the hopper. It's still working its way through all the approvals, but that is the plan to have that done.
A new law took effect in New York that penalizes drivers more for hitting a bridge. How much of a deterrent has that been? Hear from Strasburg online. Tom Puckett, WBEN.com News.
Well, it says bogged down. Just how bogged down is it in 2022? It was announced that $1.2 million in federal funding had been secured for this project. It was set to be completed and installed by 2024. Well, it's 2026, and I just watched the truck hit the bridge last
week.
We're still waiting for any of this to happen.
It's incredible.
It really is incredible when you think about it. I mean, they had the idea. They knew what they're setting aside the money for, and nothing to show for it 4 years later. If we get a refund, it's federal money. I calculated it's about...
The interest?
Oh, with interest, I don't know.
Right.
But it's
sitting
somewhere. It's about a penny a person. I asked for my penny back, and they said they don't make them anymore.
Oh,
so there
luck.
We go.
Tractor trailer overturned yesterday on the Skyway ramp to the 190 North, creating quite the scene. It led to the ramp being closed for hours. Rig ended up on its side. It took out light poles. One of them ended up in the cab of the truck. The driver not hurt. State police say speed contributed to the rollover. The driver, by the way, from Georgia, should not have been behind the wheel. He had a Class D license instead of a Class A CDL and received numerous vehicle and traffic citations.
Your exclusive WBEN 7 weather forecast. Strong winds and scattered showers this morning. Mostly cloudy with temperatures in the low to mid 60s this afternoon. For tonight, partly to mostly cloudy, lows in the mid 40s. And then on Wednesday, rain returns again with highs in the low to mid 50s. With your exclusive WBEN 7 weather forecast, I'm Chief Meteorologist Aaron Minkowski.
Dave Leventhal, senior editor at Notice, is with us on the Bison Automotive Liveline this morning. Dave, as the investigation continues into the White House Correspondents' Dinner shooting, it appears that there is evidence that the suspect planned this weeks in advance.
Yeah, Susan, there is information coming out in the form of a so-called manifesto that has been obtained and that can now be read that indicates what he was allegedly thinking in the time leading up to him traveling across the country from California on Amtrak through Chicago to Washington, D.C., staying at the hotel, the Capitol Hilton here in downtown Washington, D.C., checking in, and then, of course, allegedly going through security with guns and knives in an attempt, apparently, to cause great chaos in a maelstrom that ultimately did not happen because of him being stopped. So this is an incredibly troubling situation, to state the obvious here, and an investigation obviously will be ongoing for many, many weeks and likely months to come. But as you just mentioned, he is in custody. He has made his first court appearance. He is not cooperating with law enforcement, and this is going to be quite an affair going forward.
He's charged with attempting to assassinate the president, yet the president is seemingly just kind of going on like almost as if it never happened, Dave.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's been kind of a complete duality to the approach that Donald Trump has taken. On one hand, just as you described, Brian, it's sort of business as usual. He will be meeting with King Charles III today, and he did yesterday at the White House. He's conducting press conferences. He's going about being president of the United States, as we expect Donald Trump to do, and as Donald Trump is wont to do. So there is that. On the other hand, too, there is this kind of ongoing debate in taking the situation that happened at the White House Correspondents' Dinner on Saturday and using it as an opportunity to say Donald Trump must be safe. A ballroom at the White House must be built. Court challenges to it must be dropped. And the only way to keep the president secure is for him to have a secure facility at the White House where dinners like this could take place. This is all quite curious because the ballroom issue, even though it's a lot has been made of it over the past couple of days, it really doesn't have any direct application to the White House Correspondents' Dinner, at least specifically. This is a private event. It's run by the White House Correspondents' Association. Almost under no circumstance would it be held in a government facility of any sort, be it at the White House or otherwise. And the ballroom, at least as it's designed, would be way too small to hold an event like this. Also, too, the bigger questions are, would a president of the United States, whether it's Donald Trump or anyone else, just simply sequester themselves in the White House ballroom for, I don't know, campaigning across the country during an election season or having a rally in somewhere like Phoenix or California or Tennessee or anywhere else in the country? Donald Trump, of course, has famously said, I'm not afraid of anything and I'm willing to go anywhere. And then, of course, there are all the overseas trips that presidents typically take as well. So kind of a curious debate going on there as to a major priority for Donald Trump for building this facility.
You know, Dave, the shooting suspect in this case took a train to get to Washington from California, stopped in Chicago, got another train to D.C. Is this exposing a vulnerability with train travel? Because it appears that you can take a train and not have to go through any kind of security screening.
Yeah, and something I've talked with about with several colleagues and people in the industry over just the past couple of days. You know, and for those who don't take Amtrak too often, it's something many people take in Washington, D.C., just because of the convenience of getting up the Northeast Corridor. If you want to go to New York City or Philadelphia or Baltimore, for example, you generally will take a train and not drive because it's so congested, and Amtrak can be pretty easy. And it's easy because you can just basically walk on the train as if you were boarding a city bus or something of that sort. So there are no metal detectors. There's really no security checkpoint. There is Amtrak police, but you don't often see them. So there will likely be questions about whether the TSA, for example, should be involved in Amtrak trains or if other security measures should be taken above and beyond what is in place today for a domestic train travel.
Yeah, it is wild when you think about the security in one form of transportation versus the security at another. Aside from this, Dave, you know, we know that the Royals were in Washington, D.C. What else is the focus this week in Washington?
Yeah, well, this is going to be a big one, in part because King Charles is going to give a speech to Congress today. There was a garden party at the UK embassy here in Washington, D.C. Donald Trump hosted King Charles and Queen Camilla for tea at the White House, as mentioned. And the speech before Congress is one that a lot of people are going to be hanging on every word of King Charles. It was his mother, Queen Elizabeth II, who last gave, and actually it was the only speech that a British monarch has given to Congress directly. It came in 1991. So what is King Charles going to say about the relationship that the United States has with the UK? What is he going to talk about when it comes to transatlantic relations at a time of war for the United States? Donald Trump is no fan of Keir Starmer, the prime minister of the UK, but at the same time, too, he seems to be pretty buddy-buddy with King Charles, and he's made that pretty clear. So will Charles do anything that will roil that royal relationship, if you will?
All right, we'll be following that, too. Dave, thanks so much. Always good to talk with you. Hey, well, how about a Go Sabres?
Oh, Go Sabres, Go Sabres, Go Sabres.
That's right.
In five.
That's right.
All right.
Dave Leventhal, a senior editor at Notice, joining us live.
That's the WBEN All Local. All new episodes are made available each weekday morning, produced by the award-winning WBEN Newsroom.